that you knew immediately it had to be a true story because no fiction writer could make it up. That is the Christmas story. It is the greatest story that has ever been told. The story of a baby who changed the world. There was something so wrong with the human race because of sinful nature that none of us, no man, no woman, could ever approach God. Imagine it. And here in our covenant, in our day, with the revelation we have of redemption and salvation and everything that was given to us on that first Christmas morning, we do so little with. We have access unlimited to the presence of God, but our ancestors before us, before Christ came, could never get to where God was. Imagine growing up at a time like that, when no one knew what it was like to feel the presence of God in their life. The human race was under a curse because of sin. God was unapproachable. And then, because we could not get to God, He came to us. And it was the birth of a baby who changed everything. The birth of Christ is, without a doubt, the single most significant event in the history of the world. Everybody agrees with that. No matter how great they were, there is no other man or woman who was ever born that's had the impact on the world that the Christ child had. His birth changed everything. Now, because of him, those of us who have faith in God through His Son Jesus that was manifest to the world, we can be near God now. God can be with us now. I love the lyrics in many of the songs we sing, we hear on the radio this time of year. None are better than the words we have on our marquee right now. It's from one of the Christmas carols, and it tells the story in four words: God and sinners reconciled. That's what His birth meant to the world. Now, I realize we live in a day when Christmas is commercialized. And there is a negative to that, but there is a positive that I think overrides the negative. That is this: yes, Christmas is a commercial time of year. But even in the commercialization of Christmas, it only affirms the fact that the effect that baby's birth had on the world is undeniable. The two greatest holidays in our calendar year are centered around Christ. At this time of year, we celebrate His birth, the biggest holiday in the world, every single year. And the second greatest holiday on our calendar is the day the world celebrates His death and resurrection, at Easter Sunday. Nobody has changed the world like this baby did. Now, we've all had babies born into our home, and with every birth of every baby, we know the truth that a baby changes everything in the house. But the birth of the Christ child changed everything in the world forever. It simply meant God and sinners were now reconciled. God came to be with us, and He was no longer unapproachable to man. We could have access to His presence all the time. We live far beneath the standard that's afforded to us, because many days we stumble in and out of our days without a conscious awareness of how close God is to us. When the truth about the Christmas story is, He has made access to the presence of God granted for all of us all the time. Now, I'm going to be brief this morning. I'm going to give you a Christmas story from a chapter and a verse in the Bible that is not necessarily celebrated at Christmas. But the truth is, you can look at all 66 books of the Bible and you will see symbols and types of Christ in every one, in every book of the Bible. And the go-to traditional Christmas story when you wake up on Christmas morning, as will Pastor Steve, and read the Christmas story to your family, it's found in Luke chapter 2. And I'll just read two verses from that story, verses 7 and verse 14. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in verse 14, angels appeared singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then there is a Christmas story in the Gospel of John. And to me, it is nothing less than the story of Christmas. It's John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, that says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's the Christmas story right there. The Word of God spoken was wrapped in flesh and introduced to the world as a baby, the Christ child who grew up to give his life for the world. But it's the Word of God that became flesh, and we beheld him as the Son of God. But now, one verse of Scripture I'm going to give you today that's not the typical Christmas verse, but I think it really is. It's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says about Jesus, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." Is that not the Christmas story? God, and Jesus always was God. He pre-existed his human birth. He was always God. But to leave heaven and all the benefits and privileges of deity, to intentionally separate himself from all of that splendor and glory, and forego every divine reputation that was rightfully his, he took on a new form of a servant. And the real translation says a slave. And he came to earth in the likeness of men. The Message translation said he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. The Amplified Bible says he emptied himself and became completely human, but was without sin, being fully God and fully man. And the word form there in that verse of Scripture, he took on the form of a bondservant, of a slave. That word form in the Greek is the word morphe. We get our word morph from it. And this form that he released and let go of included the great splendor of heaven, all the glory that was due him, all the power that he had as God, and a presence so strong that no human flesh could endure it. He laid all of that down, gave up that reputation in heaven, and become like a man wrapped in flesh. He made himself of no reputation. It means he emptied himself. The Greek word means to evacuate, to vacate, to deprive, to divest, or to relinquish. He gave all that up to become like us. And because he did that first, we now can become like God. In fact, Christian means like Christ. Now, here's the shocker to the world, and still even to me, as long as I've cherished this story. Not only did God become man, but he became a servant. It would be enough of a statement of love for the world if the story had been limited to God became man. But he didn't just stop there. He identified with the lowest level of humanity, born in a barn and wrapped in torn pieces of cloth, strips of rags that were bundled together. And he was laid in a feeding trough, the manger. That's where the people of that day would throw their leftovers, their scraps from the dinner table, into this wooden trough so that the animals could eat the slop from the dinner tables. Now, what a low entry for God to make into the world. That's why whenever we see anybody that could quickly but wrongly be judged as inferior or less than, we should see Christ in that person. That's why the gospel has the power that works in each of us. When we see someone who is down and out, or even an outcast from society, we should be able to see that person with the same intense love that Christ had when he saw us. And whatever we do for the least of these, Jesus said, you do it to me. Oh, he had a right to say that, because not only did God become man, but in doing so, he became a slave to serve the rest of us. The Greek word is doulos. You know that word very well. Paul used the word slave here, bondservant or slave, to paint the picture of the vast difference between Jesus' existence in heaven and his earthly life that he gave for each of us. Jesus was so completely made in the likeness of man that Hebrews 4:15 declares he was even tempted in every way that all other men are tempted. Wow, he came a long way to rescue us. That's the greatest story that's ever been told. A story so powerful it has to be true. Tell me what fiction writer could think up all of the subplots, the twists and the turns to the story. But not one writer did. In fact, there were more than 40 writers and prophets of Old Testament times that foretold every detail about the birth of this child. Centuries earlier, one of the prophets said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, that is a small, out-of-the-way place, best known because it's a suburb of Jerusalem, but it would be like saying, in fact, some of the other thinkers of that day said, can anything good at all come out of that? It would be like today. Somebody alive today saying, centuries from now, a baby's going to be born and his birth will change the world forever, and the baby will be born in Effingham. But But there were dozens of prophecies given by prophets, and they were written down. They can be historically traced to the writer. And they spared no detail. They were very specific, even that his mother would be a virgin. Now imagine hearing that even today, when modern science has made almost everything impossible plausible, at least. But back thousands of years ago, when a prophet said he would be born of a virgin, there was no way. And yet, every detail of his birth was spelled out by prophets over centuries. Not just one writer writing fiction, but 40 or more writers and prophets who gave specific details about the birth of this one child. It is the greatest story that's ever been told. A story so powerful, you know it has to be true. And all of those 40 writers over a period of 1,500 years who did not even know each other, didn't even live at the same time in most cases, were accurate in more than 36 prophecies given about the birth. Every one of those prophecies came to pass the moment he was born. Nobody else, no matter how great they were, no man, no woman, ever in history. And there have been great men and women. History records them, but none have had the impact on the world this baby had. So much so that people got together years after his birth and said, what he did for the world was so significant. Let's tear up the calendar we've been using up to this point. Let's start all over with a new calendar, and let's let the year of his birth be year one. That's how significant his birth was to the earth. Now, we enjoy the benefits of that. 2,000 years have come and gone, and we still enjoy the gift that he gave the world, and that is reconciliation between sinful man and holy God. And that's why we can come into his presence even with all of our baggage. The Old Testament wouldn't let us do that. There were only 50 men, high priests, over a period of 1,500 years that were able to get into the presence of God. And the presence of God was kept in a box behind a curtain, the Ark of the Covenant. And it was so risky even for them that some of them had to be dragged out as a corpse. Only 50 men ascended to that office and were allowed access to come close to his presence. And today, we dwell in the presence all the time. We're just consciously not aware of it and don't celebrate it as we should. But I remember hearing T.D. Jakes preach live once, just once. Love to hear that man preach. But when I heard him live, he said, I never come in to the presence of God because I never leave the presence of God. He said, I dwell in his presence all the time. And that's the story of Christmas. That's the event that changed the world, because sinful man who had no way of getting to God was redeemed because God saw our plight and God came to us in the form of a man, in the form of a servant, in the form of a slave. He became man so that we could become like God. Father, thank you for the greatest story ever told, and thank you for what it has produced in each of us. And even right now, during this season, on Christmas Sunday at this church, I ask you, Lord, to draw me even closer. Draw each one of us, every man and woman, into a greater awareness of the benefit we have. It's been given to us. We are the benefactors of the will, the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're able to dwell in your presence all the time. No longer banished and access denied, but the writer of the New Testament invites us to come boldly, even as we are, baggage and all, into the presence of God. Not just on a good day, but in our time of need, we're invited to come boldly. So may we take a step closer to you. Would you, during this time of year, draw us closer to you? Make us more aware of Emmanuel, God with us. And we worship you during this time of year and thank you for the greatest gift each of us have ever received. In Jesus' name, amen.